When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you. When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
They're here.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the War Room on In This League. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. Joined as always by CK at COPIES on the Twitter machine. Just had a fun technical flub to start the show. It happens. We are back after opening day and baseball and all that stuff. We are in the middle of like the kind of the quiet time before the NFL draft. It's pro days have pretty much wrapped up. So, we had a couple guys go back for more medicals and stuff like that early in April. I almost got on a Cameron Hayward retiring a cool joke. Got what day it was definitely when I woke up. So, but we're back in it. And now it's weird rumors time and trade time. But so many things need to get done, CK. We're right here. Or what did you say before? We had to restart 23 days before the draft, right?
23 days, day one of the draft. And as a Packers fan, you can say again that some of these things need to get done. As we are still sitting here waiting for that. But
Aaron Rodgers not done.
Lamar Jackson is not done. OBJ. Not think we'd be here in April and some of those guys would be unsigned or untraded in a couple other cases. But
figure it out, right?
So some of these late signings, these late trade rumors, are teams that I feel like they know at least who they want to draft. They have it maybe down to a position or two, and they're thinking, can we make a move and finalize one position so that we can focus on the other in the draft, right? We always say you try to fill your needs through free agency, and then you can hopefully take best player available.
That's what you want to do in the draft, is you want to take whoever's highest on your board, regardless of position, if you can. But most teams aren't afforded that. It's still the NFL. We get down to the nitty gritty, 53 players in every single roster. You're usually sometimes trying to fill holes, and sometimes it overlaps, right? Or it's close enough to where, yeah, maybe I have this guy slightly ahead of my board, but I have a much bigger need at this other position, so we'll just go ahead and fill that. It seems to be trickling in a little slower. Maybe it's because I'm paying more attention this year than ever. But it seems like some of those holes are still open for some of these teams. And I updated on the sheet. If you guys check out the ITL Patreon, I have the team needs sheet up there, and I have revamped it. I added, what each team has fixed that we had from the beginning of free agency. I have those in green. Then I have the ones that they haven't addressed in red, or to my liking, they haven't addressed enough. And then the ones that they limped at, maybe they needed a corner. They went and signed someone kind of in that mid range. I gave them like an orange, like, we have this, but we probably don't want to go into the season with this, at least someone to compete with this other player. So we have that up there. But today on the show, because we've taken, a little bit of an extended break here, we're going to give you guys a 2-round mock draft. We worked on this last night. We did one trade. We were trying to, we were stopping at every pick, looking, saying, who's going to trade up here? Who's going to trade up there? We only ended up doing one big one, and it was the Cardinals moving out of pick 3. So we'll get to that in a minute, but that's been a rumor, CK. And Let's start with some of the rumors first, and we'll get to some of the signings, then jump into the mock. And the Titans maybe wanting to move up to 3 with the Cardinals. I mean, we know that the quarterback situation is weird. We looked over the roster. The roster's not as good as people think. I mean, Mike Vrabel probably needs more credit than we gave him for what he's done with this team recently. But it's Malik Willis there. It's Ryan Tannehill, who's, you know, probably past his prime at this point. And, you know, there's not a lot of hope on the horizon here. So I guess if you really like one of these top three guys, move up with the Cardinals, get your guy. But this roster is rough and they need a lot of stuff. So them trading up is probably going to be costly. And I don't know if I like it for Tennessee.
I don't think I like it for Tennessee either. It's going to take a lot. We're going to go over what we figured out that we think they could give up to maybe pull this off. But look, if we're going to talk about the Falcons looking into trading for Lamar Jackson because to give Desmond Ridder some competition, there's no way you can sit here and say that Malik Willis is did enough to prove that he's the guy that you're going to build around for the future. So
for sure,
if you think that Anthony Richardson, CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, Will Levis, whichever one it is that you really want, is your building block, then yeah, you make it happen. But it's going to be a huge haul for Arizona if they do this. And the Titans have so many needs. It's such a poor roster, really. It just is a poorly constructed roster.
Yeah, there's good pieces to it. I would say overall, it's definitely close to the bottom. But they have huge pieces. So you kind of wonder, all right, are we going to trade players? Are we going to trade picks if we move up? That kind of stuff. We'll get to what we did, which I think is pretty interesting when we get to it. But that's the first one. How about what is going on? You're more plugged into this situation than I am with the Packers. Aaron Rodgers says he wants to go to the Jets. They can't work out the deal for compensation. I think that 13th pick or whatever is holding stuff up here because the Jets don't want to give up a first rounder to get Aaron Rodgers. They feel like they need to keep that to, you know, be in this window. And now there's rumors, which I think, you know, look, the Titans rumors could be the Cardinals trying to send up the bat signal just to get the Colts to move up a spot and give them an extra pick because they need it, right? Mm-hmm. So that could be on their side. And by the way, we know that they have no issues cheating, it seems like, right now. So there's a big report that just came out right before we hit record about the Bidwells and doing some nefarious stuff. So, the Packers have this, you know, they haven't worked it out. And now we hear San Francisco may jump into this Aaron Rodgers race, which is just insane to me. Maybe they just don't want.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you. We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your area jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
The Packers getting picks or something. I don't know what it is, but it's very weird. So what is your assessment of this situation?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
I love
it. In this league.
Yeah, I remember that.
I think he did pretty good because I think the reason that he is not a Jet yet is the Jets, we'll talk about in a second here, but made a move that cleared out Eli Moore. So they have back-to-back top 45 picks in the second round. I think they would just love to send both those picks to the Packers and say, we're eating this huge contract on a 39-year-old quarterback. 2 second-round picks is fair value. And the Packers say, no, we want pick 13. And maybe one of those second round picks too, and then we'll do it, and we're at a stalemate. And that's what we've been hearing now for close to a month, I guess it's been since this started. And Aaron Rodgers has come out and said he will play for the Jets, and we're still sitting here. And the Packers don't have a ton of incentive to move him. They know they have a plan in place, right? The Jets are the team that really doesn't have a plan in place if this does fall through. But the Niners have been linked to Aaron Rodgers before. It's not the first time he is from out there. He's from San Francisco. He famously grew up a San Francisco fan, so he's been linked there before. I don't know what that would involve. I'm assuming that Trey Lance would be part of that return. I don't know that for sure, but that would make some sense. And then I would love to see him in a Kyle Shanahan offense. I think it'd be incredible, but I think that one seems very unlikely to me to happen.
Yeah, I think that's just like, hey, let's stir it up here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because like the Niners would have to be Trey Lance. They don't have any picks. They don't pick until 99 overall in this draft. So, or it'd have to be trading stuff for next year, which how many damn first round picks can you give up to find a quarterback? You know what I mean? It hasn't worked. They haven't won the Super Bowl yet. They got there with Jimmy G, not even the guy that they moved up for in Trey Lance. And Trey Lance hasn't been able to stay on the field. So, and then Brock Purdy comes out and he's amazing. And then he tears up his arm. So I understand, the idea for the Niners going like, look, we're just fed up. Let's just go get one of the best ever. And let's see if we can do it. So I understand that, but I don't know. It seems a little late in the process for that to be an option. If the Niners were going to do that, I think they would have made the move earlier and it would have been done. And that's it, you know? So we'll see. I think this is all just kind of cannon fodder for the bloggers and everybody, you know, people like us that will talk about it right now. So, don't want to spend too much time on it because I do think it's a little eye rolling. What about the Ravens? The Ravens are having a very weird offseason. They kind of can't make moves until they figure out what they're doing with Lamar, right? So this is a team that, on their team need sheet, I said, okay, the biggest thing is figure out Lamar. So they limped at that with a non-exclusive rights tag. So they have that going for him, but he's at a stalemate too. It looks like teams are not offering him what he wanted. He's kind of waiting to see if this Aaron Rodgers deal gets done, because if it doesn't get done, then the Jets maybe would be interested in Lamar. So that's kind of holding him up as well. But they're hamstrung. They haven't made any moves. They re-signed Justice Hill. They're going with Ben Cleveland. I mean, their big splash move so far of the offseason is bringing in Nelson Aguilar as a deep threat. So it's not good, man.
That's not a deep threat. That's not the receiver this team needs. We say they need receiver. Nelson Aguilar does not fill your receiver need.
Right, exactly. So so what is happening here? And do you think this is all just, we're all waiting on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers and the Jets? Like, we can't even blame Aaron Rodgers for this as much as everybody wants to, especially A-Rod haters. But, what do you think of this Ravens situation?
These massive contracts that the quarterbacks command, make it so hard for the teams that are involved to go out and spend any money, because they're going to get, if you make a move for Aaron Rodgers or Lamar Jackson, knowing you have to give him an extension, you're suddenly, so much of the cap money that you have is devoted to those two that it's holding up the Ravens. We heard that they made an offer to Odell, who has said he wants $15 million, which, good luck. I would be shocked if he actually gets that. I've heard that's the number he said he wants is 15, but the Ravens did not reach that number, but they did make him an offer. I'm not sure Odell Beckham is the receiver that they need to either. I'm not sure that really feels their need, but yeah, the Ravens, the Packers, the Jets are all kind of just hamstrung right now until they know, are you going to take on $50 million in debt on a team on a salary cap? Because if you're going to do that, you have to be very careful on who you're signing right now.
I mean, it is, God bless Andrew Berry for giving that terrible contract to Deshaun Watson to make this whole situation for Baltimore terrible, because that's really what has ruined Lamar, and I'm one.
It's going to get the Bengals Lamar next year, too. It's going to get the Bengals. Yes, as a Steelers fan, man, you should be loving it.
I mean, not if Kenny Pickett looks great. It's going to be Look, if Kenny Pickett looks great, I'll say pay him. But now that they gave that terrible deal to Deshaun Watson, every quarterback that doesn't have issues and is very, very good is saying, well, I'm good and I don't even have those issues that Watson had. So, and there were rumors. I kind of rolled my eyes at the rumors that NFL front offices were mad at Cleveland for giving Deshaun Watson this deal. I was like, that's stupid. Like, they're just jealous because they couldn't do it or didn't have the balls to do it. Obviously, it was ballsy going to get Deshaun Watson, still is, has stirred up a lot of controversy there. But it is proving to be completely serious and have all the credit that it deserved last year, and that these teams are mad at Cleveland. So I do like that. Other stuff. I mean, we heard the Ravens, like you said, offered OBJ, but nothing there. DeAndre Hopkins might get cut. I guess them and New England have been trying to work out a deal. New England said, hey, look, we will take him if we don't have to give you anything. We'll just take the contract. And the Cardinals saying, no, we want to pick. And they say, well, we'll let you cut him and then we'll get him. So there is thoughts around the league that Hopkins is going to be cut, and then we could have a pretty nice bidding war here for him, right?
Yeah, he also, I understand why New England doesn't want to give up anything for him. He has a very absurd contract in his own right. He is the second highest paid receiver in the league behind only Tyreek, I believe. He's set to make $15 million or something like that this year. So I get why no one, we thought, what was the return going to be? We've heard for a while he was going to be traded, and I think we both kind of speculated that it would be closer to the Amari Cooper trade than the AJ Brown trade because of that contract. Yeah. And now here we sit, and it looks more and more likely like he's going to be cut. I think he'll have plenty of suitors. I don't think that he's going to get anywhere near that $14 million number. I think it'll probably be, nine, somewhere in that range. But that, Baltimore, that's the receiver that they should be looking at. That's a much better option for what they need than Odell Beckham. But once again, you got to wait for what Lamar is going to do, right? And same thing with the Packers. They could use a receiver, but you got to wait for Lamar or Aaron Rodgers in their case. So,
right. Yeah. Those teams could afford him, but they would have to be out the quarterback to afford him. So, we'll see what happens with Hopkins. And then just a little sprinkling of a rumor that maybe Mac Jones is getting shot by the Patriots. And, I don't know. Like, it would be hilarious if San Francisco trade for Mac Jones, because now the from what we've heard is that ownership wanted Trey Lance and Shanahan wanted Mac Jones. So that would be interesting. I don't think anything's going to come of this. I think this is New England people making up something to try to get Lamar in New England. I think that's basically what it is. But we did have some signings. Damian Harris signed with the Bills, Mecole Hardman went to the Jets, and Elijah Moore was traded to the Browns. So Harris going to the Bills is just we had a hole where Singletary left, cover the hole, right? That's pretty much the whole thing there.
For fantasy, it's good news for James Cook, right? I think we feel pretty confident that James Cook is going to get more carries than he got, right?
Yeah, I think so. I still think Harris is the lead, though. And by the way, remember, the Bills had a front row seat for Damian Harris whooping their butts in that really windy game when none of the quarterbacks could throw. And Damian Harris just he ripped the 75-yard touchdown in the first quarter and then just grinded the Bills into the ground. So They know he can play in that weather. So they went out and got him. So I like that deal for them. I think it's good for him. It is good for James Cook, but I do think that James Cook is still limited to mainly third down work. So we'll see what happens. I think he's better than that, but I don't know if the Bills do. And the Bills don't.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Run the ball anyway. So all this means is, look, it's going to be status quo with Josh Allen this year, and nothing's going to change unless they go get Bijan. Mecole Hardman to the Jets. Jets added Hardman and Lazard. Obviously Garrett Wilson they drafted last year, still have Corey Davis. Like,
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo.
All night.
This receiving core is kind of crazy now.
It's good. It's very good. I had Garrett Wilson on the outside. Alan Lazard is one of the best blocking wide receivers in the league, so he put him in the slot and hopefully create more space for Breece Hall, too, on top of the fact that he can operate underneath. And Mecole Hardman, I know it's never quite developed into what everyone thought, as he was just going to be Tyreek Hill number two because he was so fast coming out of Georgia and ran an amazing 40 time, and everybody just wanted to project Tyreek onto him. But I think he's actually pretty good for what he is. It's more of a field stretch. I think if Tyquan Thornton last year came out and everybody, if he ever had a career as good as what Mecole Hardman has had so far, I'd be amazed, because I think that's kind of what you're hoping for, is he can stretch the field, right? Create more space too. So I think I like what the Jets are doing.
And he was kind of a project going into Kansas City, and I feel like the project was finally starting to turn in work, and then he got hurt.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, it could be a surprising burst from him, and I just love Elijah Moore getting out of New York and going to my favorite place anywhere else. I mean, he was in the doghouse. They did not like him in New York. You know, obviously he was drafted and they fired that staff and Saleh came in. So he wasn't one of their guys and they got rid of him for cheap. And I think this fills an enormous hole for the Browns. I mean, I don't, you know, love giving the Browns too much credit here, obviously, as a Steelers fan, but this was an extremely smart trade for them, just like getting Amari Cooper was last year. So now you have Cooper and you have Moore and you have DPJ as a three, which that feels way better than having DPJ as a two. And you give Watson some weapons to work with. So I like this deal pretty much for everybody involved.
But there's no excuses for Deshaun Watson anymore. He has a very good offensive line. He has Nick Chubb still at running back. And now, they have a very good trio of receivers there that make a lot of sense. They all kind of complement each other. Elijah Moore's, we saw in the rookie year, he was so good for the Jets operating underneath. You have Amari Cooper who can beat you on all three levels. They even signed Marquise Goodwin to get deep. So maybe not as big of a name, but I like what the Jets or the Browns are doing too, where you just kind of build on what you have. And And now I said, now you're $57 million quarterback or whatever he is. Time to live up to that contract or as much as you can.
Yeah, can't be. Russ ain't an excuse anymore.
Nope.
All that stuff has got to go out the window. So, all right, CK, let's dive in to this mock. Are you ready to rock and roll here? Let's do it. All right. So we'll start out. Pick 1-1, Carolina Panthers. We gave him CJ Stroud. And I know that there have been these Bryce Young rumors and all that stuff, but I don't believe it at all. I think they traded a ton to get here, and now they're trying to squeeze a little bit out of Houston just to get some of the stuff back that they lost. I think Houston kind of has their heart set on Bryce Young, and the Panthers know that. So I think they're trying to squeeze an extra third, second, whatever it is, out of Houston. But I think Houston is balking at that and saying, hey, look, you know what? Today they brought in CJ Stroud for a private. So, you know, it's one of those things where, you know what, you want Bryce Young, we'll take CJ Stroud. We're not giving you any more. But I think Stroud is ultimately going to be the guy in Carolina. Your thoughts on that one?
I think CJ Stroud has the highest floor of the big four receivers. I think Frank Reich, we know, can develop quarterbacks. We've seen Frank Reich have a lot of success with that. They have brought in enough this offseason that I think it's a pretty soft landing spot for him too. I think he could have immediate success if they would play him. I'm not sure they'd not start Andy Dalton to begin the year, but I don't think it would be long before we see CJ Stroud. And I think it would be a good fit, and he would have a nice time. He would have a good career in Carolina.
Yeah. And they're fixing things around him right now already. Mm-hmm. So nice to see that stuff happening. Let's go to the second pick. This is an easy one. Bryce Young to Houston. How about this? Instead of talking about Bryce Young to Houston, because everyone has talked about this, Will Anderson has been a rumor that Houston is not completely sold on any of these quarterbacks. Maybe Will Anderson is a guy. D'Amico Ryan. D'Amico Ryans is an Alabama alum. He was a DC before he became the head coach in Houston. Let's just say shock level. If they pass on QBs and take Will Anderson, or maybe even trade down to get Will Anderson.
Well, if you're doing that, you're hoping that Will Anderson is your Bosa, right? You're hoping you get one of the Bosas, and he could be that, absolutely. Houston, in that case, if you're going to avoid the quarterback here, you're hoping to have another year of, I don't want to say where you lose, but you get a chance for Caleb Williams or Drake May. They have two first-round picks because Cleveland's pick keep next year, I'm talking about. They have two picks in 2024 because the Deshaun Watson trade keeps on giving. So it's not impossible. I can see that happening. We saw them take Mario Williams when they had the first pick overall, how many years ago? So they've done this before, but I think they're going to take Bryce Young. I know that Lovie Smith got him that win and they ended up picking two, but all along I thought their guy was Bryce Young. I don't see him passing.
Yeah, I do too. I think it is going to be Bryce Young. You know, like you said, the big thing there is that like Caleb Williams is already being talked about for next year in draft circles and everything. It's kind of like the year before Andrew Luck came out, the year before Trevor Lawrence came out. Like all they were doing is talking about next year's guy, and Caleb Williams is that guy already. So, but you're picking two right now. You know you have two. So if you F around and go 8-9 next year, 9-8, now you're picking the middle. You're nowhere close, and you don't have your QB. So
one in the hand QB. Better than two in the bush. Want to have one, right? If you trust Bryce Young can be, maybe Caleb Williams has a higher upside, but if you trust that Bryce Young can do this, you draft Bryce Young.
And look, if you put Bryce Young in there and he doesn't work out, you're going to be picking very high again and then make that move or attempt to make that move, right? We saw the Cardinals give up on Josh Rosen after a year and go right to Kyler Murray, and that was the right move. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, we have Young sticking. So pick number three, this is where we did our one trade for this mock, and we did have Tennessee moving up. We wanted to see what it would look like is basically why we did this. And our trade that we ended up doing was the Cardinals moved back to that number 11 overall pick. So the Cardinals would get 11 this year. They'd get the Titans first round pick this year or in 2024, excuse me. And then Malik Willis would go back to Arizona because you drafted him last year as a third round pick. He's toast now. If you're moving up here, you're doing it to take a QB. And we gave them Harold Landry, who is, you know, working back off an ACL surgery, but if you look at this defensive line for Arizona, it is, I mean, I don't even think it's arguable. This is the worst defensive line in the league right now. Front seven, probably the worst in the league.
He might be better than some of those guys with one ACL.
Seriously.
Harold Andrews, yeah. One ACL is probably as good as some of the players that they're playing out there right now. So,
right. Exactly. And now he's a big contract too, but if you're going to cut Hopkins, you're going to have room to put this guy on the team now, you know, and maybe trade an asset right now so that whoever gets it will have it next year. Before we get into this investigation, what was going on with Bidwell and Steve Keim and all that. But I think that would be a deal that is possible. I think most people would probably do this without Landry going back, maybe even without Malik going back, and more picks. Because if you're the Cardinals and you're trading out of one of these spots, maybe you just want to add as many players as you possibly can. I get it. But I think two first and Harold Landry is good enough. Plus, you have a project in Malik Willis, who, you know, fits very similar to Kyler Murray. So if Kyler Murray, you know, is going to miss part of this year and then next year, you can develop him. And he's probably, I would say right now, Colt McCoy comes back and plays another year, it would be just Malik behind Colt McCoy and go with him for half a year until Kyler comes back. So we'll see what the Cardinals end up doing, but that's a trade we had. And then we had the Titans selecting Anthony Richardson, the quarterback from Florida, up here. And look, you know, this is the guy who had the highest RAS score of any quarterback ever. And they've been measuring that since 1987. So that's 36 years of QB data. He is literally the most athletic coming into the league at this point. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I think Tannehill would still start this year and Richardson would get to sit, which is what you want if you have Richardson. So I think the fit is nice. Your thoughts on Richardson going third here and us moving up to get him to Tennessee, CK?
If Tennessee's moving up here, it's to get a quarterback. You're not making this type of a leap for, as talented as I think Will Anderson is, you're not going to make this type of a jump for him. But at that point, Ryan Tannehill has one more year left on his contract. You play Ryan Tannehill this year. We just talked about how good we think their coaching staff is. And so, yeah, I think Mike Vrabel gets a year to develop Anthony Richardson, hopefully refine some of what he has. Now, I think the floor is actually higher on Anthony Richardson than we give it credit for at some points, because if nothing else, he's Justin Fields, right? Where he's just this absurd athlete who can run the ball. So even if he can't get the throwing mechanics down, he has a huge arm, just chuck it deep to Treylon Burks or whatever you're going to do, and then take advantage of his insane athletic skill set. And I think there is a pretty decent floor, actually. I started to change my mind on that with Anthony Richardson. And for a while, I thought the floor was kind of low. Now I think it isn't low. It's maybe he has a low floor as a passer, but his athletic gifts give him certain abilities that other quarterbacks just simply can't do.
Yeah, and, you know, I think also with a quarterback with you know, a below average, to put it nicely, completion percentage, you want to build around that guy. You want to put as many weapons on the field, exactly what San Francisco is doing, right? Mm-hmm. Like San Francisco has put multiple weapons. They traded their whole draft for CMC. They have Kittle, they have Ayuk, they have Debo, like, right. They made it all work. Plus a good old line. They made it all work to say, hey, look, our quarterback can be slightly above league average like Jimmy G, and we can go to the Super Bowl if the rest of the pieces are around. So I think if you have that mindset with a quarterback with upside, the sky's the limit. My issue would be, is do we just turn this into what Atlanta has? We're running the ball 80 times a game. We're throwing it 15 times a game. And, you know, it's what the Bears did last year with Justin Fields, right? Like, he ran and his fantasy stats are great. You're not going to make a long living in the NFL taking that many carries. I mean, Jalen Hurts, one of those guys, too. If you have 17 designed QB runs, it's not going to be a surprise when your skinny QB gets hurt. So,
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old
In This League.
Talk about www.com, you made you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on. Yeah.
Going to pick number four. This is, we just got him four in a row. Will Levis going to the Colts. I don't think we need to expand too much on this one. Stan Chaikin looking for a QB here. Gardner Minshew is a nice backup. Maybe even starts the first couple games here for them. But I mean, you know, Will Levis is an athletic guy that can work. This is what the system used with Will Jalen Hurts. So he doesn't have that upside running, but he's got a cannon of an arm. So you can do different things with him. So I just think, like, get a new coach in there. Step one is get that coach a QB, right?
Yep. This has been the logical pick for the Colts ever since they've been locked into pick four, it seems like. Whereas Anthony Richardson has moved up, CJ Stroud has kind of moved around. It has felt like Will Levis has been locked into the Colts for a large portion of this process, and he still is. And I think, yes, this is the first young quarterback that they would have tried since Andrew Luck, right? We've seen him go with Phillip Rivers and Matt Ryan and Carson Wentz, and they've had limited amounts of success with the older veteran approach. Now you got to try to rebuild this with a young guy. And Will Levis, he has flaws, but yeah, I think they're coachable too. He does have a lot of physical gifts.
I mean, you blame Brady for that stuff, right? Because you take Brady and you drop him in to Tampa Bay and they win a Super Bowl. You take Matt Stafford, you drop him into LA, they win a Super Bowl. So the Rams are like, well, then just give us Phillip Rivers. We'll do it. You know, not so fast. It doesn't work everywhere. Those guys were well past their prime.
The ghost of Matt Ryan that we saw last year.
I mean, you know, seeing ghost Matt Ryan is what that was for sure. Let's go. We have some defensive picks in here at number five. We have the Seahawks with that extra first that they got for Russell, taking Will Anderson. Pretty good consolation prize. You're not getting a quarterback to sit behind Geno here, which is the whole reason why Tennessee would trade up, is because Seattle could potentially take a QB here, or someone else could trade up with that three spot. But the Seahawks get Will Anderson, the edge rusher from Alabama, safest player in the draft. The Detroit Lions go with Jalen Carter, defensive tackle out of Georgia. There are some that don't like that pick. They think, you know, he won't take meetings outside the top 10 because he thinks he's still going inside the top 10. I don't know. You know, it's some teams will just flat out take him off the board. I think the Raiders are one of those teams that cannot afford, you know, character issues anymore. So
especially with a car accident. They have their own issues with a car accident in the past recently. So no, I don't believe the Raiders are going to take him, but I still think, I think Jalen Carter's a top 10 pick still.
I do too. So we have him going to Detroit. Then we have Christian Gonzalez going to the Raiders. Desperate team for some corner help. Atlanta Falcons, we have them take a Tyree Wilson, the edge from Texas Tech. So four defensive players after the QBs going in a row. Will Anderson to the Seahawks, Jalen Carter to the Lions, and Christian Gonzalez to the Raiders, and Tyree Wilson to the Falcons. So your thoughts on any of these picks?
If there was a team that a couple months or a month ago before free agency started rivaled Arizona for worst defensive line in the league, it was Atlanta. They have added Calais Campbell. They've added David Onyemata. But Tyree Wilson, they're going to go D-line here. I'm not sure exactly who it is. I think they're going to go D-line. So whether it's if Jalen Carter falls, could they take him? Sure. Could they take Miles Murphy? Yep. But I do like the Tyree Wilson pick there. He's such a physically gifted player that you could put him right away right next to Grady Jarrett. And they'd have suddenly a pretty decent, at least starting defensive line.
Yeah, I mean, you would take Onyemata and put him on the edge with Jarrett and Calais in the middle and Tyree Wilson. Yeah, that goes to a formidable line from a run it down their throat line pretty quick. So, yeah, I love that idea for them. Then the rest of these next four picks, Carter, Gonzalez, Wilson, any thoughts on those?
Jalen Carter in Detroit is... We were talking about it when we were doing the mock last night. You got to find the team that fits him too. I don't think you want to get him into a spot where he's suddenly the focus. And Detroit's really good. We're going to talk about it as we go through this draft, but Detroit has a really good team. And so now you drop him into the middle. Talk about a good D line. Aiden Hutchinson, James Houston, Aleem McNeil, Michael Brockers, Jalen Carter. Like, good luck. It's young. Yeah. It's talented. That team could be really good for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this is this rebuild with Dan Campbell, and a lot of people didn't like Dan Campbell when he got hired. They thought it was a joke. They thought he was one of these rah-rah, too fiery guys going to be
biting kneecaps
pretty quickly. Yeah, the biting kneecap stuff. But it has all worked. He has put his heart and soul in it, and it has absolutely all worked. And this team just gets more dangerous by the day. Christian Gonzalez to the Raiders, Tyree Wilson to the Falcons. We went over those. So moving on here, the Bears get Peter Skoronski, the offensive lineman from Northwestern. Then the Eagles, this pick from the Saints, get Miles Murphy, the edge rusher from Clemson. The Cardinals get Lucas Van Ness, the edge rusher from Iowa. The Texans take Nolan Smith. We know that DeMeco probably can't go offense two picks in a row in the first round. So they go Nolan Smith, the edge rusher out of Georgia. And then the Jets take Broderick Jones, a big offensive tackle from Georgia. So Skoronski to the Bears, Murphy to the Eagles, Lucas Van Ness to the Cardinals moving down. The Texans take Nolan Smith and Broderick Jones to the Jets. Your thoughts on any of these picks, CK?
When you have teams that are good on the line, it shows how much the priorities get pushed up, right? These are all offensive line or defensive line picks in this whole area. And
yeah.
The Bears at 9, Skoronski is one of the safest picks in the draft. I think we said it before, he's either going to be a very good tackle or he's going to be an all-pro level guard. I don't see there's any chance of him being bust. So you put him with the Bears and it instantly helps their O-line. The Eagles, it's such a luxury pick. This was when we talked about who can trade up to here, but there wasn't a good fit. And so then we just said, well, you're just taking best player available.
Yeah.
Miles Murphy on a defense that already has pass rushers like Hassan Reddick and Josh Sweat, plus an aging Brandon Graham. I mean, imagine the rotation to keep those guys fresh while they get after the quarterback on a team that just went to the Super Bowl. And then,
I mean, that's the rotation right there. Those four. That's incredible. That's not a down with a bad guy that you can attack, right?
No.
It's just crazy.
It is crazy. And then Arizona, we said we traded them Harold Landry, and that was part of the return for them going back to 11. But then adding Lucas Van Ness, you know, they lost their two best pass rushers last year in J.J. Watt and Zach Allen, so they need it at minimum of two. They probably need more than that. So exactly. So I like Lucas Van Ness there. I think he can play inside and outside. He needs a little bit of time because famously he's not started games at Iowa, but he's a really good player. Nolan Smith. So I guess the question then becomes, if they took Will Anderson at 2, who would they take here at 12? Well, I think the fit of Bryce Young and Nolan Smith is going to be better than you're going to take Will Anderson and at 12, no quarterbacks.
Quentin Johnston.
Johnston and putting him with, they'd still just have Davis Mills, I think, right? I don't think.
Yeah, it would be Davis Mills. Yeah. So
I think you take Bryce Young and then you roll with an edge that's here. Nolan Smith is a physically gifted freak who is proving that last year he was injured and he looks healthy.
Everybody gushes about his work ethic. Yep. Like, yeah, that's
a D'Amico Ryan's pick right there.
Yeah. That's D'Amico Ryan's pick for sure. So, I mean, we'll see if that happens, but I would say that, you know, cause a lot of times you see a Bryce Young and then Quentin Johnson, getting picked in mocks. I think it's like offense and defense. Maybe they stick to both offensive players here, but I think with that, the way that defense is built, you need pieces. So I think they go offense and defense there. All right. So Broderick Jones to the Jets. So you talk about that one. I mean, that one just makes sense.
They need an O-lineman. They need an
O-lineman. Guy Becton.
It's got to be a tackle. Like, it's got to be a tackle. Whichever one they like the most between Paris Johnson, if Skoronski's there, or Broderick Jones, it has to be a tackle.
All right. Moving on here. Let's go down to New England at 14. Paris Johnson, the offensive tackle from Ohio State. Your Packers select Brian Branch, the safety from Alabama. The Commanders take Devin Witherspoon, the cornerback from Illinois. I have my Steelers taking Darnell Wright, the offensive tackle from Tennessee. And then the Detroit Lions take Quentin Johnston, the wide receiver from TCU. So, you know, the offensive lineman here makes sense. You know, the Patriots, they tried N'Keal Harry in the first round. It didn't work. I don't think they're going back to finding a wide receiver and taking him. This is a Bijan territory. I just don't think they're going to do it, you know? So I think they're going to stick with Ramondre and roll with an offensive lineman. So this is just such a Patriots pick. Let's just take a very gifted offensive lineman and have him be one of our tackles for the next decade. Right. So this is a smart pick for the Steelers taking the O-line too. Darnell Wright, It's just getting better on that line. You have to protect Pickett. Your weapons are pretty good with Najee and Deontay and Pickens and Freiermuth. So wide receiver's not out of the question. Of course, you know, I could see Kenny Pickett trying to talk them into Jordan Addison at this pick, and I wouldn't hate that either. But I think you just fix the O-line because it's an issue. And, you know, surprisingly, the Steelers' offensive line was the only O-line that kept the same starters the entire year. But you cannot expect that to happen 2 years in a row. So get help there. Go ahead.
You were, so second we did this one last night, you were locked into Darnell Wright, and I said right tackle or left tackle, and you think he's a left tackle, right?
I think they want a left tackle. So I think that's what they'll do with him first, is have him play left, have Dan Moore either slide to right or be the swing guy, the sixth guy in the rotation, and Chooks can stay on the right side. I wouldn't hate if they took another tackle in the third, you know, and short up both sides of that. I mean, you got Siamalu and Herbig, right, from Philly. So the interior's good. Now you got to work on those tackles. So, I think they would start him at left and make him lose it. Make him say, no, he's a natural right tackle. We're going to move him to right, and that's what we're going to do. Whatever, midway through the year. And who knows, if it's bad at left, he might not even start. So I wouldn't be shocked by that either. But I think the O-line in the corners for Pittsburgh are the things that they really need to address. So then we have the defensive backs. You know, you got your guys. This is your guy. Brian Branch is your dude. You're not wavering. Devin Witherspoon to Washington, they need a corner. And then Johnston to Detroit, just pump that offense up. I mean, what would it be if it wasn't Branch?
The way the board fell, it would be, I'll say Jackson Smith and Jigba. Okay. I will say that they would take JSN there because although they do like the big guy, so it could be Quentin Johnson. I think it would be a receiver. I think Jackson Smith and Jigba fits more of what they want, or at least that he should fit what they want. Brian Branch to me is the second best cover player in this draft, or third probably behind Devin Witherspoon and Christian Gonzalez. I think he's that good of a cover option out of the slot. If you wanted to do, they had Micah Hyde once. They vastly used him poorly. I think that Brian Branch can do exactly what Micah Hyde can do and maybe even do it better. He's an amazing tackler. I'm just all in. I love the fit of Devin Witherspoon to Washington. I haven't seen that one a lot. He tends to go a little earlier for our mock draft year. He fell down a bit, but they desperately could use a cornerback right now. We're talking about Kendall Fuller and then Cam Dantzler and Benjamin St. Juste. So yeah, they could very much use a cornerback, the quality of Devin Witherspoon. And then, you know, the Lions, you just stack offense on top of it. So we're talking right about a Lions team here that would then be rolling out Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameson Williams, and Quentin Johnston. If we know how good Amon-Ra St. Brown is, if Jameson Williams and Quentin Johnston are 80% of what we think they can be, like, what a team.
I kind of hate this. Not for Quentin Johnston. I mean, I do kind of hate it for Quentin Johnston for fantasy, right? Mm-hmm. Because now you're stuck behind Jameson and Amon-Ra, because you're clearly third of that group, which is crazy to think of. Quentin Johnston gets drafted and he's the third wide receiver on the team from day one. Is kind of crazy to think of. But it's like, man, if you hadn't signed David Montgomery, and maybe this won't preclude them from doing this, but like, if you don't sign David Montgomery, you're sitting here with this 18th pick and you could have taken Bijan instead and spent that money somewhere else, you know, on another corner or another wide receiver, whatever. I think they bought all the corners.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's in this league.
It's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make
in this league.
I'm the smartest guy in the world. Says who?
IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Do something different there. So I would love to have seen Bijan go, but we didn't. But don't worry, he's coming off the board pretty quick here. Because at pick 19, the Tampa Bay Bucks select Bijan Robinson in our mock. 20, the Seattle Seahawks go Joey Porter Jr., cornerback with length, which they love, obviously. The Dolphins are cheaters, so they don't get a pick. Then the Chargers get Jordan Addison, the wide receiver from USC. The Ravens get Jackson Smith and Jigba, wide receiver from Ohio State. And the Vikings take Zay Flowers, wide receiver from Boston College. So everyone's probably sitting at this point going, where the hell are the offensive players in this draft that aren't linemen? Well, here they go. We had Quentin go before and a big old grip of them. Bijan, Addison, JSN, and Zay Flowers all go in this group with Joey Porter Jr. as the one lone defensive player. I mean, we don't even need to talk about him. If he gets past Pittsburgh, going to Seattle make a lot of sense. Not a lot of holes on defense now that they brought back Bobby Wagner. They signed Devin Bush. So, yes, Jordan Brooks is going to miss a big chunk of the year, but they have their two linebackers. They have fixed that defensive line by adding Will Anderson to it, and they spent on Draymond Jones in the offseason. So the D-line is much improved with Nwosu on the other side, who was outstanding last year. And so you kind of just need this one spot. Safety is also in play because Jamal Adams can't stay on the field, but I think that one makes sense. Talk about the offensive players. Why does Bijan fit in Tampa Bay, CK?
Well, we saw what Leonard Fournette did with Tom Brady, and Bijan Robinson is what Leonard Fournette would hope to be, right? Where he can catch passes. He's a better pass catcher than Rashad White, who got drafted as a pass catcher, and Bijan Robinson is better at that than him. Plus, he's just an extremely explosive runner. So, you know, right away, you're talking about going with some combination of either Baker Mayfield or Kyle Trask, whoever it is that starts. Baker Mayfield has been pretty poor for a while here, and we haven't seen Kyle Trask. You want a safety blanket, a guy that you can give 20 carries a game to, you know, at least 20 touches. I don't know how you get there, whether it's 13 carries, 7 catches, 20 carries, 5 catches. You can feed this man as much as we've seen Christian McCaffrey, because that's who Bijan Robinson is. He is the Christian McCaffrey skill set, and we saw that Carolina put out some teams that were not very good, but Christian McCaffrey for fantasy was fine, and he kept them competitive, and I think Bijan Robinson can do that from day one. I think he's the best. You know, we saw Najee go in the first round a couple of years ago. Bijan is a better running back prospect than that.